Okay, turn in your Bibles tonight to John chapter 9. John chapter 9, I want to read the first seven verses. John chapter 9. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Now, this is the title of this little study tonight, 2020 Vision. I told you some time ago that I went to the doctor, my regular eye doctor, and he was very pleased because I have 20/20 vision in both eyes. I told you before that I had a stroke in my left eye, and I have to go through a series of shots in the eye, and I've been doing that since 2017. Now, that's not a big deal when you say a shot in the eye. It's not like there you see the needle coming. That's not the case. But I just went there 1 week after I went to my regular eye doctor, and before they even gave me the shot, they take pictures and see if it's changed at all. I sat down in the chair, and the lady said, okay, we want you to read the chart. Now, before I even got the shot, and it was been 3 months since I got the shot, and I read everything, and she says, well, that's great. You got 20/20 in both eyes. So now that was confirmed within a week by two doctors, 20/20 vision. So that's pretty good. So I just thought I'd add that. Now, this is only a four-point outline. It won't take long. But the first thing I want you to notice here in the verses that we read is this: the misery of the physically blind man. The misery of the physical blind man. He was born blind. He had never seen the light of day. Can you imagine that? Besides being blind, he was poor. And according to verse 20 and 22, look at that. Verse 20 says, his parents answered him and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. And verse 22, these words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. So by reading those verses and coming to the conclusion that he probably was a poor man, usually blind people were, and in this text that we read, perhaps his parents may not have even given much thought to the time either. They may not have given much thought. He was all alone in a dark world. They said he was of age. That meant, well, you know, he doesn't even live here. He's probably out begging on the streets. We don't know that. These verses don't say that, but it's very possible. The question that was asked by the disciples in verse 2 would be a commonly asked question of that day in which they live. Now let's explore that a little bit, and we'll show you why that would be a common question. Some of the Jewish religious teachers of the day taught that a person could be born with a physical handicap because of a prenatal personal sin. In other words, maybe their parents had sinned. They even taught that a child could sin while still in the womb. And this was cause of the handicap. Now, that don't even make sense. But that's what these false teachers were proclaiming that day. Now, the second teaching came from the scripture, and it came from two passages of scripture in the Old Testament. Let's read them, if we could, please. Let's go back to the book of Exodus first, and we want to go to chapter number 34. Exodus 34, and we want to look at verse 7. Exodus 34, verse 7. I hope I have the correct reference here. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin that will be by no means clear, the guilty visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. Now, if that's not clear, let's read another scripture, Numbers, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Let's read Numbers chapter 14 and verse number 18 and see what that says. Numbers 14, verse 18. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgressions, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Now, what is this saying? Well, these scriptures are saying that the sins of the parents could be passed on to the children, to the second, third, and even the fourth generation. Now you say, well, how could that be? Well, think about some of the people that you may know where grandfather had a real problem, let's say, with drinking. And it's almost like it was passed on to his son, and his son passed it on to the next son. That happens. Thank God that you can get saved and break that chain. But that's a possibility, is it not? And that's what that's referring to here. Jesus made it very clear to his disciples there was another reason that God would allow such a handicap to come upon a man. Verse 3 bears that out. What does it say? Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, meaning that's not why he's blind, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Wow. Now, that's quite a statement, but now I will say this, and I put this in bold print so I wouldn't make the mistake of missing this and not sharing this with you. And I'm going to read it so I don't miss anything. I want you to pay attention to this. Don't be too quick to jump to any conclusions as to why certain things happen to certain people. Number one, you don't really know. That is God's business, not ours. We don't know why God allows certain things to come upon certain people. So, for the first time in his life, the man could see. Now, that had to be both exciting, and I would say it also had to be a little scary at the same time. He never saw anything. And now, all of a sudden, boom, there it is. That would be amazing. Now, our next point is this, and it's found in verses 8 to 12. The misplaced faith of the masses. The misplaced faith of the masses. What does it say in verse number 8? The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. Well, the people had some very interesting questions here, didn't they? it didn't seem like they were rejoicing or really excited for him, but it seemed to raise questions in their mind. And they said, is this the same man? How were your eyes opened? Really, you know, I think I would have said to them, but I'm not him. I said, what's it matter? I can see. Why don't you be happy with me? And of course, then the other question is where is he? Meaning, where is this Jesus that did this for you? Now, notice one thing that was missing in their conversation. We already addressed it. None of them, according to what we read, none of them expressed any gladness or joy in the fact that he could now see. Their reason was to take him to blind religious leaders of the day and let him ask more questions. And that's what they ended up doing. Now, that brings us to number three in our little outline. The motives of the spiritual blind leaders. We have a lot of blind leaders in many churches around America and around the world today. Blind leading the blind. Some of them will teach things contrary to what God says about salvation and other things. Some will teach, look, all you have to worry about is just doing your best and you be the best you can and that'll be good enough to get you into heaven. No, that's not true. That's absolutely not true. So look here. We'll skip around here in some of these verses because it's a lengthy passage from verses 13 to 34. They were more concerned with the fact that a person would heal on the Sabbath day. That bothered them more than anything else. They didn't rejoice. They just said, my goodness, that you shouldn't do those things on the Sabbath day. The bottom one line was, they did not want to recognize this deed for what it was. A miracle performed by God. Look at verses 13 to 16. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Even the religious lost people were divided over this wonderful miracle that God had performed. When they found out who had performed the miracle, they attacked Jesus and they denounced him as a person who did not obey the law. No sinner could perform such miracles, they said. They would not even believe this man was blind from birth. So they called his parents. And we already read part of that, but we won't be able to read all of these scriptures. You read verses 17 to 23 on your own, and you'll see where this all comes about. It is an amazing fact that religious lost people may want to talk about Jesus, but they do not want to accept him for who he is. He is the Savior. He is God. He is the only means by which we can even think about entering heaven because of what he did for us. It's that simple. It was true of these Pharisees, and it's true of false teachers today. The formerly blind man had enough sense to recognize that this Jesus was a prophet. Look at verse 17 quickly. It says, they say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. At least he recognized that part. They certainly didn't. And he also recognized in verses 24 to 33, and a man of God. He recognized him as a man of God. Now, when you start arguing with the false teachers concerning their false doctrine, it will not be long before you see how compassionate and caring for the souls of others these men really are. It won't take you long. Look at verse number 34. They answered and said unto him, "Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us?" And they cast him out. Isn't that compassionate and marvelous and really feeling concerned about a man who was born blind? The bottom line for them is this, and we're going to read it. They're saying, we don't need that old blood preaching. We don't need religious teaching other than what we say is true. And we can make ourselves good enough for heaven. We don't need Jesus. Oh, he was a good man. He was a good person. But we don't need him. Let me show you what Jesus had to say to people like that. You might know some like that. Look at the book of Matthew, chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We have to take the time to read this because it's very important. Matthew 7, and we want to start reading at verse number 13. "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the great gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree which bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Any man that stands in a pulpit and says there is another way to heaven, and that way might be good works, that might be baptism, might be 100 other things you can do, is a liar. It's only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's important. Number four, and our last point, the message of the Savior. The message of the Savior. You'll find this, we're going to break it down for you here in just a minute, verses 4 through 6 and verses 35 to 38. The message of the Savior. First of all, you see in verse 5, Jesus is a shining bright light in a dark world. You can read that on your own. The next thing you see is Jesus is a seeking light. Verses 4, 6, and verse 35. If you want these notes, I'll give them to you, and you can take them home and study them on your own. And Jesus is a saving light. Verses 36 to 38. Let's take the time to read those. He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." Now Jesus is talking to the blind, former blind man. And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus is a saving light. There it is. So when this man woke up on this particular day, he never expected that his darkness would turn on the light. What a shock that had to be. Not only physically, but now you see from what we just read, also spiritually. Also spiritually. It says he worshiped him. He never knew this would be the first day he would finally see. He would finally see. That would be exciting. Not only physically, but spiritually. And there's a lot of people in this world that are spiritually blind. And those are the ones we need to reach and make sure they know the truth. Amen? So very important. All right.